This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Dr. Anthony Fauci, part of the White House Coronavirus Task Force, also the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and also a local guy, made good, went to Regis High School, and was an outstanding basketball player from everything I've read, and he joins us now on the Michael K. Show. Dr. Fauci, Michael, Don, and Peter, how are you today?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
It's our pleasure. Of all the major sports that are trying to come back, Dr. Fauci, what's the one that you worry about the most?
Well, you know, I want to start off by saying that you know, sometimes when you, and I'll give you a straight answer, but you know, when we're talking about the safety of players and the safety of the people who are the spectators, and comments that I've made when people have asked me specific questions about the various sports, mm-hmm. and I've given my advice, it has gotten taken out of context, particularly mm-hmm. with regard to the NFL, saying that I think we shouldn't have an NFL season, which is really not at all what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that each different sport, depending upon the season, depending on indoor, outdoor, depending on the amount of contact, will have different risks when you're talking about what you need to do to mitigate the risks, both to the players, which is obviously very important, their safety is critical, as well as whether and how you're going to have spectators. And it really, really varies. I mean, obviously, the sport that has the most contact, which in this case is football, is something you need to pay attention to and figure out how you can get players to play a season safe and in what particular circumstance. And that's really going to depend in many respects on the status of the outbreak at the time that that season is being played. So, I mean, I have a concern about the health of everyone, and I certainly am a sports lover, and I'm more concerned about the health of the players. So, I mean, if the specific answer to your question, those sports in which there is the most contact and depending upon the status of the outbreak.
Doctor, we hear about outbreaks, we hear about positive tests, but from a professional athlete standpoint, guys in their 20s, perfectly right. healthy, what is the hospitalization and death factor for yeah. a professional athlete if they were to contract the virus?
No, good question, and it's very low, but you've got to understand something that's very unusual about this outbreak. Certainly, statistically, the chance of a young, healthy, athletically fit person who plays a professional sport is very, very low. But what we are starting to see, that even healthy people, young, healthy people, marathon runners and others who get infected, a very small percentage of them can get very serious disease, leading to hospitalization and even death, although that number is clearly much, much lower when compared, for example, for an elderly individual or someone who has an underlying condition. But it doesn't end there, because since this outbreak is a dynamic process that essentially can involve anyone, a person who's healthy and gets infected, even though they may not have any deleterious consequences because they're so healthy, they may be inadvertently propagating an outbreak that ultimately may involve someone who has the kind of underlying conditions that puts them at great risk. That could be a family member. That could be a grandma or a grandpa or an uncle who's sick and who has an underlying condition like heart disease or diabetes. That's the thing that needs to be taken into consideration, that we're all in this together. And even though an individual may not have a serious consequence to themselves, they are part of the process of whether or not we get this outbreak under control or not.
Dr. Fauci, in from a sports standpoint, how much more comfortable are you with the prospect of one day being able to attend outdoor events where there's some space, separation, fresh air, and people wearing masks versus the idea of being able to attend indoors? And then in terms of how that affects us immediately, just how important is it, do you think, being at outdoor events versus being inside restaurants, things of that nature?
Well, you know, outdoor events I mean, it depends on you mean the spectators, me as a spectator, certainly outdoor in any respiratory disease is always safer than indoor, just for the obvious, you know, physical issues that are involved. I'm cautiously optimistic. If we can get this outbreak under control in the sense of getting the infection rate so low that the risk becomes minimal, and when people get infected, you have the capability of identifying, isolating, and contact tracing, which is what we're trying to do right now with the stuff that's going on, the activity that we're seeing in certain states, that we can get many of the sports back. How quickly to get them back, how they are going to come back, and there's been many versions and many iterations of that. You know, are you going to televise some, or are you going to have some degree of people in the stands indoor? Are you going to separate them more than you would under normal circumstances? What about outdoors? What's the season? All kinds of things go into that. And it isn't the decision of the public health people. The public health people make advice. The decision are going to be for the people who run the league as well, importantly, as the players. I mean, those are the individuals whose safety we want to make sure we pay attention to, as well as the spectators, the lovers of the sports, like myself.
We're talking to Dr. Anthony Fauci, the head of the White House, or part of the White House Coronavirus Task Force. Dr. Fauci, one of the states that has seen a spike now is Florida, and that's where the NBA is expected to play the resumption of their season and then the postseason in a bubble-type atmosphere. The fact that there is a spike in Florida, would that be a concern, even though there is going to be a bubble-type atmosphere?
Yeah. You know, the fact is that it's always a concern when you have an outbreak of the magnitude that we've seen in Florida. Technically speaking, if you abide strictly by the bubble that has been proposed as the mechanism of avoiding any issues with infection, that should not make that much difference. But the only thing is you bubble the players. But when you're in an area where there's so much infection going on, you know, the players would have some kind of interaction with outside people. Somebody have to take care of them. People need to serve the meals and things like that. I know that there's a good degree of safety around that because I've heard of the plans, and I've even publicly said that they sound like they're really good and well thought out and have been essentially planned to be implemented with a good degree of care. But certainly you would rather have it in a place where there is not a lot of activity. Hopefully the Florida situation can get under control pretty quickly. But it certainly is concerning what is going on in Florida right now.
Doctor, does the degree of exposure show how badly you get the virus? Meaning if somebody coughs in your face as opposed to, get it through social distancing at a supermarket.
Sure, that is a very good question. It hasn't been definitively shown, but there's mounting evidence that the amount and intensity of exposure and the inoculum that you get exposed to determines the severity, in not every case, but tends to determine the severity of the course that you experience and whether or not you get symptomatic or not. Again, this is not definitive, but there's suggestive evidence. For example, if someone gets an inoculum of a lot of virus that they breathe into their nose or their eye or their mouth when someone sneezes on them or they're in very close contact with someone, if the inoculum is very small, it is less likely that that person is going to have a serious consequence compared to someone who gets exposed to a very large inoculum.
Is there any one thing, doctor, that you've learned recently over the last 4 to 6 weeks about this virus that you really didn't know previously and now you feel very confident saying? Because that's been part of this, right, is this process of things you don't know. Is there any new things that you really feel confident in saying about it now?
Well, you know, confident to a certain extent because it's always a moving target. But the thing that I'm seeing more of now, the more you get experience, is that individuals who get infected and might be out of action for a couple of weeks at home, they can often take a considerable amount of time to get back to their normal feeling of good health. The other thing we're seeing is strange types of inflammatory reactions in children who have been infected with this coronavirus. They have a very strange syndrome that really resembles a hyperinflammatory syndrome that used to go by the name of Kawasaki syndrome, which is very severe rash and inflammation, mucosa and skin in children following exposure to a particular agent. So the things that I learn, the more you learn, the more you get, you know, a little bit concerned that there are a lot of things we still don't know about this very perplexing virus.
Now, there's still some doubt whether or not they're going to come to an agreement to play baseball, Dr. Fauci. Last week you said that it would be very difficult to play in October because that could be a spike. But it's also the sport that they really are just naturally socially distanced. Why would it be tough if they socially distanced and did the right things to play in October?
Yeah, I'm glad you've given me the opportunity to again clarify, because in such a charged issue, things sometimes get taken out of context. No, what I'm saying is that if, and that's what never got printed in the comments, if in fact, and I hope we don't, if you have a substantial outbreak, so-called a second wave in the fall, overall, the danger and the risk of penetrating through the shield that you're trying to put around this when you go becomes greater. That doesn't mean you shouldn't play in October. That doesn't mean you shouldn't have a World Series. And the reason I get perplexed about it is because when it gets taken out of context, it's saying, well, he doesn't think that there should be a season in which you can have a World Series in October. I never said that. That is for the league and the players to decide, not for me. The only thing I can tell you is that the risk, if you have a second wave in the fall and winter, is greater than you would have if you have a low level in the summer. That's all I said. I said nothing about having a World Series or not.
What are ways, Dr. Fauci, can we learn and manage and live through this virus before there's a vaccine? What has to happen for us to be able to do that?
Yeah, we have to take seriously our responsibility to be able to protect ourselves as well as to protect the general public. And that is by some simple things. Depending upon where you live, to abide by the guidelines for opening America again, which have various checkpoints of restrictions of things that you can do. If you go for a certain number of days and the number of cases go down, you could proceed to the next phase, which is a phase that gives you more leeway, more flexibility. If you do well at that phase, go to the next phase. And if you do that in a measured way and don't skip over these checkpoints, the chances are we're going to get this under control much more quickly than otherwise. For yourself personally, there are some minimal things that you can do given the status. We had now yesterday 30,000 plus new infections in this country. So we are still in the middle of an outbreak. This isn't over. Simple things. Wear a mask when you're outside. Do not get into crowded situations. Avoid crowds, because that's how things get spread. Keep physical distance from people, 6 feet. If you happen to be in a situation where you cannot avoid that kind of closeness, make sure you wear that mask. If you're in a situation where you're talking and being animated, resist the temptation to take the mask off. Wash your hands frequently. That's not rocket science. Those are relatively simple things to do. But it's amazing how beneficial they may be to not only protect you, but to help you protect society.
How do you feel about getting on planes right now?
Well, it depends on who you are. Now, that's really a good question. I mean, there are very few straight answers to these really good questions. You said, how do I feel? I'm in my 70s. Right now, I risk, because I have a job that's an important job as a public health official, that I have a responsibility to the public health of the country. So I go to places, mostly in town here, generally always wearing a mask on the outside. Would I get on a plane Well, you know, if I were not a public health official, given my age and the likelihood I have some underlying conditions, I probably would be hunkering down at home waiting for this thing to end. So the answer to your question is, would I get on a plane right now? Personally, no. If I were a 25-year-old person with really no underlying conditions and I was living in an area that only had a modest amount and I had a good reason to get on a plane, of course I would get on a plane. It depends on who you are and what circumstances you're under.
All right, Dr. Fauci is our guest here on the Michael Kay Show. We keep hearing about underlying reasons, and I've heard so many answers to this. So since we have you, I'm going to ask you. So if you have high blood pressure and you take a blood pressure pill, which brings it to normal, if you have diabetes and you take a diabetic medicine and it brings your sugar down to normal, are you considered that you have those underlying issues, or does the medicine take care of it?
Yes. No, the answer is yes. So I'll give you a straight, scientifically sound answer. If you have high blood pressure that's out of control or diabetes that's out of control, it's certainly a much bigger risk than if you have well-controlled hypertension and well-controlled diabetes. But just the fact that you have these underlying conditions and you go back and look at the cases that have been studied, even individuals on medications, well-controlled, the underlying condition puts you at a greater risk than if you did not have that underlying condition. So it's relative risk. The risk gets worse if the condition is worse, but the condition itself is a risk.
When is it over? Is it a vaccine, or what exactly stage do we reach where we can get back to whatever normal is?
Yeah. Well, this is a very tricky virus because it's highly efficient in its ability to transmit, more so than just about any other virus except for a few like measles, which is clearly one of the most transmissible. But it is really quite transmissible. And it also has a relatively high degree, relatively speaking, of morbidity and mortality. It is over when from a combination of a... Well, first of all, it's not over until you nail it down and put the nail in the coffin, and you do that with a combination of public health measures and a safe and effective vaccine. But even before a safe and effective vaccine, you can approach some degree of normality by good public health measures that brings down the infection to such a low level that when you get little blips, you can contain it by identification, isolation, and contact tracing, which is the reason why right now many states are successfully going back to normal, getting the economy back, getting jobs back by doing it carefully. But as I mentioned and you hinted, if you really want to nail it down, it's a combination of a safe and effective vaccine together with public health measures.
How concerned are you about the fall? Obviously, that's on a lot of people's mind. Are we simply seeing numbers get a little bit better in some places because the weather's better and people are outside more? And what do you think September and October looks like?
I wouldn't count on the weather. It could help a little bit. But right now, Florida is a very warm and very muggy place, as it tends to be in the summer. And yet, because people have not quite paid attention to the public health recommendations, we're seeing a very disturbing surge of infections in Florida. Therefore, you shouldn't count on warm weather being a shield. So the question is, in the fall, and this is historic, back in 1918, when they had a similar situation with the infamous Spanish flu, as it was called, there was an outbreak in the spring of 1918. And then the infection tended to go under the radar screen and disappear in the summer, only to come back with a vengeance in the fall when the cold weather came. Does that mean it's inevitable that that's going to happen now? I don't accept that as an inevitability. I believe that if we are prepared and have the capability that we implement to have the system, the tests, and the capability of doing identification, isolation, and contact tracing, we don't necessarily have to have an inevitability of a resurgence in the fall. We want to keep an eye out on it. We want to do everything we can to prevent it from happening, but it doesn't necessarily have to occur if we handle the inevitable increases in individual cases, and we do it in a way that can suppress a real second wave or a real surge.
Dr. Anthony Fauci is our guest. He's been so generous with his time, so just a couple of quick ones for you. People say wear masks. Doctor, can you get infected through the eye? Should people wear goggles?
You know, yes, the answer is yes. Anything that's a mucosal surface, namely a surface, you know, like your mouth and your nose, which is moist and wet, the eyes are certainly that way. The best protection is to cover both the nose, the mouth, and the eyes. But if you don't have that opportunity to do it, at least a mask. A mask is minimal. If you want to get that extra added degree, then you could wear some eye covering.
I read a report by an Italian doctor who said that the disease just might go away because it keeps mutating as it goes along and it's getting weaker and not killing people. Do you buy into that?
Yeah, I think at this stage there's no really solid evidence that that's the case. I hope that happens. That has happened with other viruses, where the more they spread, they tend to get weaker. I haven't seen confirmatory evidence that that's the case. So I don't think you can make a statement with any degree of confidence that that's the case. But I'm keeping my mind open about that. I'd love to see data that indicates that. That would be wonderful.
Would you also say that it's likely or unlikely that there is an effective vaccine before the end of this year?
I say that it is likely that we will know the results of a vaccine, and I'm cautiously optimistic that it would be a vaccine that provides some degree of efficacy and is safe. I would say by the end of the year, by the very beginning of 2021.
Now, in terms of when this vaccine came over to this country, Dr. Fauci, where we are today on June 22nd, are we further along or are we in better shape than you would have thought when this first happened?
Are we in better shape? You mean with the virus, when the
yes.
virus first
yeah.
came over?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I'm concerned about where we are, and I'm concerned because I see that curve is not dramatically going down. It is, you know, there are certainly less deaths than we had when New York, you know, the city of my birth, got hit so badly, very painful for me to watch that from a distance. New York did a really good job of addressing it, even though they got hurt badly. They're in a pretty good situation right now. I'm concerned about what's going on in other states, the states in the Sun Belt. So it's a mixed bag. I'm pleased to see that some of the states are doing really well, looking like they're marching towards normality. But I'm quite concerned about the states that still have enough cases now to keep our numbers up.
And final thing, if like you said, you're in your 70s, but you're in your 70s in good shape. If you're in very good shape in your 70s and there are no underlying conditions, should you be less scared than most older people are?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're an older individual and you have three or four underlying conditions, you are clearly at a greater risk than a 70-year-old or an elderly individual of the same age who has absolutely no underlying conditions. The healthier you are, regardless of your age, the less the risk. Age itself, unfortunately, for people like myself who are in that category, age itself is a risk. But the risk is really compounded if you have an underlying condition associated with your age, like hypertension, diabetes, obesity, chronic lung disease, etc.
Mm-hmm. I want one more, Michael, if you don't mind. Doctor, is there any evidence at all that this could be something that even if you survive, that can affect you down the road? Can it do any damage to your body after the virus is left?
Yes, it depends on the degree and the severity of the condition that you had with it. Certainly, if you have an individual who is mildly symptomatic, had to stay home for a week or two or three, you might have some chronic fatigue or that goes for another week or two, and then you get back to normal. I mean, I'm following myself several people who've recovered. They seem to be doing well. However, I'm also following people who were significantly impacted, got very sick, and months down the pike, they are still now, 3 or 4 months later, still not back to normal. So the sicker you get, the more difficult it is for you to get ultimately get back to normal. And what we don't know, because remember, after all, we're only a few months into this. It seems like forever for many of us, but it's only been a few months. So we don't know what happens when someone who was really seriously ill, who required hospitalization, finally gets out. What's going to happen? How are they going to feel a year or two from now? You have to be honest. We don't know. We have a pretty good idea of the people who only had mild illness and are already back full speed on their job. You can be confident that they're okay. It's the people who really got hit hard that it's tough to predict at this point if there are going to be any long-range consequences.
Right, one final thing, and this certainly does pertain to sports coming back. Dr. Fauci, is there any way to know how long does it take after being exposed to the virus for you to show up positive in a test?
You know, it probably takes a matter of a couple of days. You start getting symptoms around 5 days into the exposure. You probably are having virus in your nasopharynx within a couple of days, giving it a chance to replicate enough to be picked up by a test or to spread to another individual.
Doctor, we appreciate your time, and we also, yes, as Americans, appreciate the work that you're doing. It's not an easy job. People want answers right away. They want a cure right away, but unfortunately, it's not that easy. So we do appreciate you coming on with us.
Well, thank you for giving me the opportunity to be with you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Doctor.
That is Dr. Anthony Fauci, White House Coronavirus Task Force, and the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.